just want to welcome everybody. Thanks for coming in at lunch. I know how busy everyone is, but I can't think of a rarer moment in terms of inviting a speaker in. It was last minute because I didn't know until last Thursday that a wonderful friend had returned to Owen and to Nashville. And very, very excited that he could come in today and so many of you could join us. One of the neatest things about teaching here is every year we get the new students, we get to read resumes. And when we read the resumes, we get to see just how special every student is and the amazing experiences they've had and successes. And back in about 3 years ago, I was looking at resumes and I saw a resume of a young man named Ebenezer Yee. And I read that his last job before coming to Owen was directing all transportation and logistics for the nation of Ghana, reporting to the president of Ghana. And then I realized there was a list of long, long experiences. Those experiences were involved in the military. He was a military officer in Ghana. And then I saw the term United Nations Peacekeeping Missions. And I read the Congo and many other hot spots. And then when I got down to 1994, I read the name Rwanda. And I remembered it having just seen the movie Hotel Rwanda, what had happened, and that's that a nation divided literally in half in hatred. And that a very, very angry group of Hutus decided to massacre all their brethren, Tutsis and moderate Hutus, who were peaceful, and they began to slaughter. The United Nations immediately sent in troops from throughout the world, including the United States. And then when things got completely out of hand, the United Nations ordered all their troops out because it was far too dangerous. And only one nation, Ghana, decided to stay. As I learned a bit more, I realized that people of Ghana throughout Africa are known as the people of peace and the people of goodness, and that they're known throughout history for always being willing to step in and help others who were in need of goodness or who were facing peril throughout all of Africa. And this was the case there. As I read the man's resume, I also saw the number 30,000. And then I read something about repatriating 30,000 people, so I asked my new friend, Evan, about that. And I realized that what had happened was on one particularly horrible day, they saw a mob chasing many, many thousand people. And so he and 102 of his men commandeered a soccer stadium. And they herded the 30,000 fleeing people into the soccer stadium and then locked the doors and gates. And then day after day and night after night, totally giving up all of their rations and all of their water to the civilians, they tried to stave off and did stave off an attack, a mortar attack, and a constant barrage of gunfire and rockets. And they saved the lives of 30,000 people. Every now and then you get to meet a hero. Every now and then we get to meet a hero. And it's particularly significant when that hero is a friend. Because I think what heroes tell us is the good that we all can do. Because everyone in the room has hero in them. So I'd like to introduce a hero. And that's my friend Evan. Are you? Come on up there.
I first want to thank Professor Talbot and the Owen Black Student Association for putting this together and then giving me the opportunity to share with you some of my experiences as well as my thoughts over the years working with the Ghana Armed Forces and the United Nations in our effort at providing global peace and security. And to further, I want to say socioeconomic development worldwide. Secondly, I thank you also for the audience. Indeed, it's heartwarming to be here again after 2 long years, and I really miss the ambience in the Everbush here. I'm of the view that as potential world leaders of both state and non-state actors in the international system, my thoughts that I will share with you will serve as a challenge to you, wherever you may find yourself after Owen or wherever you're studying currently, in the facilitation of seeking global peace, security, and then socioeconomic development. Today, or let's say this afternoon, it is just an opportunity for us to discuss global peacekeeping in general, and then maybe focus to what is currently happening in Sudan and brackets the therefore. So whatever it is, I just need to make a little statement. So I have just a note here, but maybe after 5 minutes, I'll just retire to my city, and then we will go into something we call maybe a discussion. People will have their comments, contributions, as well as ask me questions over my experiences that I've gone through over the years. As a young boy growing up in a very modest area called Accra in my native Ghana, I vowed that I'll have to arm myself with enough knowledge and experience later to help alleviate the level of deprivation that I witnessed in my community. And I would say that I was given this opportunity when I was commissioned into the Ghanaian Forces in 1990, just after graduating from the University of Ghana. I've traveled to various harsh, deprived environments, all in the name of peacekeeping. I've been to Lebanon, Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Liberia, the Congo, DRC, and lately I'm in Sudan. I wish to say that now I'm in the capacity of a civilian, I'm no more in uniform, but it's the same environment. During these tours, I've seen a lot of suffering. Yeah. I've lost very dear friends and men under my command. And like I always say, whenever I meet my friends and people who know me very well, I say, I'm a living library of the consequences of conflict. In Liberia, rebels cast lots over the determination of what sex is the unborn child carried by a pregnant woman. Rebels slit open the belly of the pregnant woman to determine the sex of the unborn child, and through that, decide the winner of their contest. Displaced persons cook grass in water and drank the resultant broth as food for the day. Children were not spared either. Instead of being in school, they were deployed as soldiers and sometimes as sex slaves. And I bet you the child soldiers were the most murderous. In Rwanda, I witnessed the slaughter of people of Tutsi extraction as well as moderate Hutus. The most surprising thing to me during my tour in Rwanda was that these people who were slaughtered went to their deaths with no protestation. The crisis situation presented by 30,000 internally displaced persons taking refuge in the Amahoro Stadium, that stadium still exists and is one of the biggest stadiums in Rwanda now. The crisis presented by this situation was really overwhelming. Ironically, the name of the stadium, Amahoro, translated in English means peace, but the people in that stadium never saw peace for over a month. There was no peace because whilst they were in the stadium, we were providing logistics for support. There was a lot of artillery shelling, bombings throughout the day, throughout the night. The crisis had to be managed through the Ghanaian contingent of about 102 men, as was said by Prof. Tabot. We decided to stay after all other nationalities had been withdrawn by the United Nations. Ghana decided to stay. This was done, I would say, in complete disregard to the safety and security of our own men. But as military men were there, we had a mission, and the mission had to be completed. By the time the international community appropriately responded to the crisis, close to 1 million innocent Rwandans had been slaughtered. The international community was, however, present to count the dead and do the statistical analysis, something that they are very good at. Who is to blame in this situation? We are all parties to this global degeneration. In Sierra Leone, amputations of the limbs of not only combatants, but those of babies barely a year old. The damage of the socioeconomic fiber of the Sierra Leonean society was indescribable. Nearly two decades of fighting in Sudan has left the society so deprived that the people of Southern Sudan and the Darfur today cannot be counted amongst normal societies. Challenge to seek maybe further knowledge, as I promised myself when I was a boy, towards attainment of my child's dream. I enrolled in Owen in the fall of 2005. By the end of the first year, I had opportunity once again when I was recalled by the United Nations, this time not in the capacity of a military guy, but in the capacity of a civilian, to help in the management of logistic support in various peacekeeping operations. I was initially deployed to the Sierra Leone, and currently I'm deployed in Sudan. I'm still looking at an opportunity to come back to Owen, because I love Owen so much, and I believe that I should be part of the distinguished alumni of Owen. And maybe come this fall, I'll be back to continue with my studies. My humble message as I narrate this experience to you is that we can pass on to, what I can pass on to you is that crises do not only evolve in our boardrooms or on the factory floors. The deprived communities in the conflict areas and other developing countries have more challenging crises that seek the attention of experienced and then knowledgeable minds, as you and I have today. Their type of crisis threaten the very foundation of human existence. Genocide, hunger, and disease prevail in these communities. The situation in the Darfur is a very typical example of what is happening today. And until we are able to utilize our acquired knowledge in whatever sphere we're studying today, and facilitate in bringing about a fair balance in the global socioeconomic system, this crisis will never end. And whilst this crisis don't end, there will be no peace and security anywhere in the world, because once it's happening here, people will move to the other side. If there's pressure on your economy, you also feel the pain. So we need to use whatever knowledge we have acquired, whatever study we're doing, in trying to resolve crises in other areas, more so in very, very deprived and conflict areas. I believe that I'll be able to awaken your conscience with this narration. I don't intend it to be a speech, but it's just going to be a discussion, but just to maybe set the agenda and let the discussion flow. I decided to give you this narration. And I believe at the end of it all, once you are finished whatever studies you are doing, with your knowledge that you have acquired, you can help in the facilitation to bring global peace, security, and socio-economic development globally. I think I'll pause at this juncture. I'm sure a lot of people are very interested in what is happening in the Sudan and the Darfur currently, but you should not have to hold yourself to only that area. There are a lot of things happening globally now, because there's a lot of conflict in the world. The UN now has over $6 billion procurement that they're doing because of increasing global peacekeeping. So there are a lot of things happening, and then a lot of people are not very much interested because maybe they are not feeling the pinch now. But we need to have much knowledge so we can be informed in the decision that we take, both in contributions as well as helping during the crisis. I thank you very much for your attention, and I'll be looking for questions, contributions, and then comments. Thank you very much.